Okay, the McDonald sisters.
So, Otha and Blanche McDonald, come to find out, there wasn't much information, but I was determined to learn. And out of Glenville State College, the research people found lots of information for me. Luckily, they had shown at the West Virginia Arts and Crafts Festival in Glenville for many years in the 60s. And I ended up learning the piece that was in the museum that was on display was purchased after they had received a purchase award. So there are actually two pieces in the museum's collection. They have one in the archive and one on exhibit. The one that originally was received the award got that at the Appalachian Carters exhibition in 1968, which Ellie Shaw, who is an artist in Charleston's okay. today, was one of the co-coordinators of that exhibit. Okay. The Appalachian Carter exhibit was an idea to invite artists from all of the states that the Appalachians are in mm-hmm. to submit work, and they were juried by the first one was someone from the Met, and the two judges from New York City came down. Okay. And one of the rugs was selected as a purchase award. So that's in the collection. It was interesting to learn about that piece. I have read several articles. Their work was brought out of Glenville because of the Economic Opportunity Act of 1964 that President Johnson signed, which encouraged within the different states economic opportunity commissions to be built, okay. and people then were sent into the hills to find mm-hmm. viable artwork and craft that could be marketed. Okay. So that's how they were found uh-huh. originally. And what's interesting is that I'm really trying to remember the person's name, Florette Angel, was one of those representatives. And she was also involved in the Mountain Artist Quilters. Okay. The book's over there, that's why I've got the art, okay. the title of it. She was involved in that. And in that quilt book, in the very corner is the rug that she purchased, and it was in her house. Mm-hmm. I met her husband, Florette has passed away, and I met her husband, and Phil had sold that rug before I was able to see it. Wow. So, but over the years, I wrote an application for the fellowship through the Tamarack Foundation mm-hmm. and was honored to receive that fellowship mm-hmm. to continue my research on the McDonald sisters. Cool. So that funding has helped me travel throughout the state. Mm-hmm. When someone says they have a rug, I was able to see Mrs. Page's rug, and that, according to reputation, was their largest mm-hmm. that they had ever made. But it is a fascinating piece. It has two peacocks on it. Okay. So most of their pieces mm-hmm. are totally amazingly intricate, layer on layer on layer, florals. Mm-hmm. And then the piece that the Pages own has two birds on it. And what's really interesting is that we have a photograph of the two ladies beginning that rug.
Oh, cool.
So in the archives in Glenville State College, we have that. And then I was able to see some of the material that they used in the background uh-huh. to keep building that rug up.
That's rare to have a process photo.
And then to be able to see it and turn it over and look at the back of it and say, oh my gosh, there's the flannel designed fabric that has planes on it from the late 1960s. A boy's pajama fabric is yeah. basically what it is that backs that rug. Amazing. That's really cool.
And you think they work collaboratively?
Yes. Yes. But, so I have talked to some people who actually met them. They passed away in 75 and 76 mm-hmm. in their 80s. And the older one is Otha, and she was the older sister, we'll put it that way, it seemed. But supposedly each of them had a particular skill involved in the making of these. Okay. For whatever reason, I gravitate to Blanche, so she's the younger one, mm-hmm. by 2 years. And I think she did more of it, more consistently. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which skill each of them acquired, but supposedly they learned these skills from their mother, okay. with Scottish heritage. Mm-hmm. And they worked in Letter Gap. I know where their house is. It was passed down into the family on the mother's side, and their nephew lived about 3 miles from them. They would take a little red wagon and pull it. They never drove, and walk the 3 miles out the lane and up the road to Letter Gap to their nephew's monthly. He would take care of their bills and help mm-hmm. them with that, and they'd pick up their mail, and off they went.
Wow.
Back home.
How old were they when they died?
They were in their early 80s.
Okay. And Letter Gap, where is that?
It's just outside of Glenville. Okay. Maybe 10-ish miles.
Okay. Wow.
In the same county. I first misunderstood where the house was, so I thought it was 3 miles up the road itself, mm-hmm. off the main road. Uh-huh. And I was in a Toyota Sienna alone about 4 o'clock at night, and mm-hmm. I traveled this road, and it kept getting narrower and more narrow, mm-hmm. and going up the hill, and I got to a point where the gas line was up there, and it was a really beautiful view, but there definitely was not a road that this vehicle was going to go on, and I had to turn around somehow, because no one knew I was up there. Then I found out later when someone took me to it that it was a total of 3 miles from the nephew's house in Letter Gap, not 3 miles up the lane.
Why don't you talk about your work in a broader West Virginia art community and role with Tamarack and that sort of thing?
I'm on the Tamarack Foundation board. Very happy to be involved in that. One of the skills that I wrote in the fellowship originally, and the purpose for writing the fellowship was so that the foundation board knew who I was and some of my background. My skills are in networking, and I really enjoy finding out what people are doing, who they are, and thinking, well, you ought to know so-and-so, and making those connections. That's part of the skills that was mentioned when I was asked to be part of the board. Mm-hmm. So I represent what's going on here in the eastern part of the state. It's 5 hours to get to Charleston, and we're in the same state.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
then there's still two, at least more hours below Charleston. So it's an amazing state. I find that it's very gratifying to be in West Virginia, which the state does.
No.
The state recognizes and acknowledges the arts and crafts. It's a value that I literally was on a plane traveling to San Francisco to teach, and my plane person sitting next to me asked where I was from, and I said West Virginia. He says, oh my gosh, there are so many craftspeople there. Mm. It's a reputation that we right. need to just keep talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really important,
mm-hmm.
and something that I can be doing by representing the traditions and the crafts and the people of West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And so now you've traveled all over. Do you still go to shows, go to conferences?
I do go to conferences, and I don't vend now, meaning I don't have to do dyeing of 300 yards of wool and create my patterns and such. I miss not being behind a booth with thousands of people going by and being able to talk to them and find out what they're doing in their projects. But I do go to them, to the shows. I think one of the best shows about contemporary and traditional rug hooking is at Souder Village in Archbald, Ohio, and it's in August. And that event I always attend. Mm-hmm. I'm often teaching there or lecturing, mm-hmm. and or exhibiting something of it. It's really important venue. This year, I'm going to represent a exhibit called Reimagined, and it's sponsored by two people in Australia. They've coordinated the Southern Hemisphere of fiber artists, and it's a completely online exhibit. Okay. So the people did not have to send it to them in Australia, and we're going to premiere it in Souder Village with an online exhibition. Supposedly they're working on some software that you'll be able to feel like you're walking through a gallery to look at all these different pieces.
Wow.
So there's North American people are their judges, mm-hmm. and I'm coordinating that jury, and then I'm going to do the lecture and talk about it. And one of the coordinators is coming from Australia to the show this year.
Nice.
So it's really fun. That's I would say the premier show for people. If you're just learning about it, there are 20 different vendors. So you're able to work with the people who manufacture the wool, mm-hmm. or or meet up with, as I said, an Australian who's just come only one time in her life that she'll be able to come through.
Wow.
and talk to the Canadians that come down, and you know, people from all over the United States.
And when you teach, what have you taught in the past, and what do you generally teach?
I have taught designing using the Fraktur motifs. And I developed a box after doing my workshops for so many years. So I put my 100 different motifs in a box and some guidance and let people work that way. But that's also either a day and they can create a pattern or up to a 4-day workshop. Mm-hmm. I'm going to teach at Augusta Heritage this summer. I'm very excited about that. Finally teaching in this.
New.
It is for me, yeah. Mm-hmm. And be teaching rug hooking and embroidery and quilting. We expanded it as broad as possible, but that's certainly my background on it.
Cool.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what people come up with. I encourage that they might want to create a footstool like the McDonald sisters, or start one of their rugs. Had somebody from, she's living in Abu Dhabi now, but she is Canadian.
Okay.
And she said she regretted that the timing wasn't right this year, but if I taught there next year, she would be coming to Augusta.
Wow.
So that's very cool. That will be a really good one.
Yeah.
And she's a good friend of mine. I'm also teaching just outside of Yosemite this year. At a retreat, and I don't know what the people will have. So there'll be 16 people in that workshop with a variety of different projects.
Mm-hmm.
The skills that I bring are helping people in design and principles of art.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a primitive rug, it might only have a house and a tree.
Uh-huh.
It's understanding where to put that house, how big the tree is going to be, what's your attention that you want us to be looking at,
mm-hmm.
how can we color it, how can we make it more prominent, is it about the house, is it about the tree, is it about the entire environment, those different opportunities using the principles of design.
Could you talk about your community here in this local area?
Hampshire County is a agricultural county. If people are not working in farming, they quite often commute to Winchester or Moorfield to either the factories that are there, working in some of the industries that are available that way. They also are working here in education systems and in the hospitals. So what I really appreciate about it is that it's quite a bit of a rural area.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to travel 10 miles off of Route 50 to get down here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really comfortable community because you can be in your own space and then get out to meet the people.
Mm-hmm.
There's an arts council in Hampshire County based out of Romney. The River House in Cape and Bridge is an interesting new space. allowing arts, music, and community to come together. And I think it's interesting to be able to see the different generations merging together mm-hmm. and sharing what skills that they have.
And who are your friends? Are they other artists?
Jim and I chose this area and this type of a lifestyle so that we could come back to the land and the space and rejuvenate ourselves. Mm-hmm. The internet, which is not super fast, but it does connect us to the world. So those Australian friends of mine, the Canadian friends, my New England friends, for sure, mm-hmm. I'm able to connect and you know, share different ideas with them, and then come back here and really settle in and get re-energized. I think one of the experiences that we had when we were traveling back and forth from New Jersey to here, after that 5-hour drive on the interstate and coming out into the back roads, just putting my foot on this land mm-hmm. re-energized me.
Yeah.
And it does. I mean, I love to travel. I totally enjoy it, but I need to come back here, and when I do, I'm fine.
Yeah, right. And so you have this experience as an artist, a board member of Tamarack, and you can kind of see the whole artist landscape here. What do you think are the elements that need to happen to help crafters and artists in West Virginia? I'm specifically interested in traditional art, but have been, you know, talking with Tamarack about ways we can leverage and support. So what's your thoughts on it?
I think the story that the art is made by individuals is a message that needs to get out. That story meaning the individuals are surviving and happy to do that. We don't need a Madison Avenue income. So it's not a dollar figure, you know, what's a poverty level or such. As I said, I come back here, and, you know, it's wonderful. It's a sense of mental health. But I also mentioned that the internet is extremely important to me. It's my business line. It's my community line. And it's also an inspiration and education line. And that's what this state needs to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what the country needs to do. We need to look at our infrastructure mm-hmm. and our education system is lacking because we don't have equal opportunities because of internet.
Yeah, rural internet is a huge issue.
Yeah, it's a very unique landscape. Mm-hmm. So Walt Disney said to his engineers, figure it out. This is my idea. So here's the idea. Connect us somehow, some way. And don't cut down some more trees just to do it. There's got to be another way
right.
to put the education equal.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. More exhibition space mm-hmm. Within the state mm-hmm. and opportunities working with public space and companies.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing that I do remember in New Jersey. A lot of the corporations had incorporated their open lobby spaces and created them as gallery spaces.
Yeah.
So either they exhibited their own private collections, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
The companies don't do that anymore. But they also had that space for public displays. And I think if we can look at opportunities for more shows
mm-hmm.
and telling our stories.
Yeah. Yeah, and also what you said about you know, we are individual artists. I think that sometimes gets lost with traditional art because people think, oh, it's a community tradition. And it's true, that's one of the elements of traditional art, that it comes out of a community. But these are actually individual artists with individual needs and creativity. And that gets lost on a lot of different levels, I think. And, you know, people quarreling about prices and that sort of thing, but not fully understanding the time and the work that goes into it. So.
Yeah, there's there's a value that's a monetary value because of need. And then there's the value of appreciation of the work. And as you said, there is the community. We call them hook-ins, so a lot of people coming together and working. And it is a social need that we have. It's gratifying. It's also really, for me, when I sit down and listen to different artists and we talk, we can come up with amazing ideas and implement them really, really quickly. I think that's the best part about working within West Virginia. You are able to achieve much more than too many layers of bureaucracy in other states.
Right, right. That's true.
And there's also not a politicking hierarchy within the arts here. I don't feel it in West Virginia. I did feel the academics of it in New Jersey more so. It's an observation, not a negative necessarily,
right.
But
right.
It's you can talk person to person.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to talk about a piece you feel particularly proud of, or a work?
How about this piece that I'm working on?
Sure. Yeah.
Maybe because it's kind of talks about. So at Souter Village, there's going to be an exhibit about work that people acquired an image from Google Earth.
Okay.
In my work, I try very hard to discuss environmental issues and social issues, but I find it difficult to scream out a particular point of view that I have. So I like my work to be addressed by people superficially as, oh, that's nice and that's pretty. Mm-hmm. And if they look deeper, then they can learn more about the issue. And I decided that mountaintop removal is an issue that is important to me and selected one of the mountains that's being destroyed and created what will be a necklace. So I have hooked the brooch. Going to hang like this.
Oh, wow.
And I'm working, these three areas are going to be done in metal, which Christine Keller is going to help me. Nice. So I'm going to learn more about metal work. And I'm also going to connect a full necklace.
Wow.
So the brooch will be able to, the necklace will actually be able to be taken off and worn. Mm-hmm. It should hang about here.
Uh-huh.
And yet I've installed it on the mountains, with the quilting and the trapunto work and some bead work and some interesting yarns that give an idea of that water flowing out of that coal area.
And where is this?
And this is in PAX.
Okay.
So actually, this is, I'm not sure that this is it, but Route 64 goes pretty close to this, so it's Beckley area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very cool.
So I'm happy with that one. And it will have a second piece. I went to school in Boston, and Frederick Law Olmsted created the multitude of parks. So the Boston Commons and then Commonwealth Avenue stretches and connects to the Arboretum. Mm-hmm. And it was referred to as the Emerald Necklace. So it's a reverse palette. In that case, all the buildings are going to be gray around it, and only the park systems will be green, and it'll be in the same proportion.
Very cool.
And but I'm just having a problem creating it as a necklace. Actually, it looks more like a bracelet.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm not sure that it's going to be a piece of jewelry after all, but I will have the two pieces similar in size and going from changing the palette up from the gray on the mountaintop and the greens around it to my city life and the greens of the parks. That was my saving grace, being from rural New Jersey to live in Boston for as long as I did. Mm-hmm. It was the parks.
The green space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
there anything else you'd like to add?
I'm really excited about being on the journey at this point in my life. I'm 63, and it's scary to be a studio artist only. I used to have a business and represent other artists and also myself that way. I certainly was very successful working out on the road with the vending of the Ruckman Mill Farm products. And now I have to find venues to at least exhibit my artwork and sell it. And as I said, it's the internet, but it's the creativity that's so important to me. And it's gratifying to have a partner that also is an artist, and we're both quirky enough to whatever's we often say, well, you got 29 acres, you know, wherever you're going to put it, go ahead, find a place. And I appreciate having that freedom and that space.
Mm-hmm. And are you both working, or did you both work full-time artists?
We owned our gallery for 20 years mm-hmm. together.
Okay, and that, but then when you came here,
we were able to transition that. I went on the road for 10 years selling Ruckman Mill Farm products, and uh-huh. Jim has been able to maintain the property here.
That's great.
Well, I'm sure we could talk for much longer, but I think that's pretty good for now. Yeah, great.
Come back anytime.
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I think a lot of people always say they wander around, and then, you know, it's interesting to see what you will remember about the house or about the place.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Everyone remembers something different. Totally different, yeah.
Cool. Thank you. I'll stop this and...